you can go ahead and mark in your songbooks song number 170. That will be the song at the conclusion of this brief invitation. After you've done that, as I'm getting set up here, if you would like to, go ahead and open up your Bibles, and I'd like you to open up to Genesis, the 37th chapter. And we will begin reading in Genesis, the 37th chapter, in just a moment. And the question that we're going to address this evening is the question, are you a rare find? And the idea of a rare find actually comes from the statement made in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and verse 6, which says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? So the question is, are you that rare find? Are you that faithful individual? I want to share a couple of statements that I found by Dr. Kent Spann. In 1947, some of you have probably heard this, young Bedouin shepherds searching for a stray goat in the Judean desert entered a long untouched cave and found jars filled with ancient scrolls. The initial discovery by the Bedouins yielded 7 scrolls and began a search that lasted nearly a decade and eventually produced thousands of scroll fragments from 11 caves. What they found is now referred to as the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are, in fact, the oldest manuscripts of the Old Testament that we have. And he says, folks, that was indeed a very rare find. He then goes on to say, as rare as that find is, I want to tell you about an even more rare and valuable find. God is looking for a faithful person, and when he finds them, he will bless them. Joseph was one of these men. And that's who we're going to look at very briefly this evening, is who Joseph was and why it is that he could be considered a rare find or one of these faithful men. Let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 and 13. I'll probably actually continue through 14 here. So let's do 12 through 14. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. And what we find is, simply, we can state Joseph faithfully served those whom God placed over him. In this particular instance, Israel, being his father, had something for him to do, had something for Joseph to do. And he very simply, faithfully obeyed what his earthly father told him. If we look a little bit further in the life of Joseph, turn forward to Genesis chapter 39, we'll look at verses 2 through 6, thinking about the idea that Joseph proves himself to be faithful when he's given responsibility. And when we study these things and when we think about this man Joseph and his faithfulness when given responsibilities, ask yourself, could you make that statement about yourself? Or could someone make that statement about you? Could someone say about Roger that he proved himself faithful when he was given responsibility? And we need to ask ourselves individually that question and hope that we would be found faithful. Looking at verses 2 through 6 of Genesis 39. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. Verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians, house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate, and Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance, or Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. But we see that Joseph gains more and more power, if you will, more or more control, greater and greater honor, because he's viewed as being faithful in those responsibilities that he's given. We need to recognize that Joseph is even faithful when it proves costly to him. And I should have put 39, verse 6b through verse 19. And many of you will recognize this particular account. But let's read, beginning once again, we'll finish up on the last statement of verse 6 and move forward through 19. It says, "And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. And so it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, Your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. So we see Joseph was a faithful man. Joseph would not violate this wife. Joseph would not sin against God. And it was costly for him. We'll look a little further in just a few moments, but we know the kind of position that he had been placed. And now we're finding that he's being thrown in prison, or he's going to be thrown in prison. But even though it cost him the various things that he had, he refused to lie with another's wife. As we look a little bit further, we find Joseph as being faithful when given both big responsibility that is seen and in small responsibilities done in obscurity. And I say that because I think many times many people are happy to do things that are way out in the wide open where everybody can see their greatness and they can be puffed up because people will tell them how great they are for what they're doing because it's well known and it's well seen. But even within those areas where Joseph wasn't seen, where it was more obscure, where there were fewer people around, he still remains faithful. And he remains faithful because that's what's right, not because he's going to receive the praise of men. Let's continue on with our look at Joseph here in verse 19. Actually, let's begin at verse 20. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. So faithfulness got Joseph prison. Faithfulness may be at some point costly, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be faithful. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So even being thrown in prison, now Joseph's been thrown in prison. Now the only people that are around him are other prisoners. and the prison keeper. And the prison keeper recognizes this man is good, that this man has the Lord with him, and so he gives him headship over the other prisoners to such an extent that he doesn't have to double check on Joseph. He trusts him because he's a faithful man and because he has the Lord, and he doesn't even have to check on him with what's being done. We can also see from verses 22 and 23, Joseph remained faithful throughout both the good and the bad times. He was faithful when he was being promoted and moving his way up the ranks, and he was faithful when he got thrown in prison. And instead of giving up and instead of crying and moaning and complaining, he found a way to rise up and serve the Lord within that environment. And it's real easy for us today to be faithful when things are going well. It's real easy when all's going right for us to be faithful. But how quickly does it sometimes change with people when things don't go quite the way they want it to? When things don't happen like they're hoping for. And that's when we show our true faith, is regardless of whatever situation we're in, we're willing to do what God would have us to do and continue to love and respect Him. And if you turn forward again just a little bit, Genesis 41 and verse 16, we know Joseph is simply faithful when given opportunities by God. When Pharaoh comes to him, he says, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He is given the opportunity to speak to Pharaoh regarding what it is that Pharaoh has questions on. And he admits that it's not in himself to know, but it's in God that he will make it known. And he takes advantage of the opportunity to speak to Pharaoh. He's not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to go before him. We talked a little bit this morning in our class about how God, or how I believe, and I hope how many of you believe, God works in our lives. And that is that He presents us with opportunities. He doesn't take our free will away from us. He doesn't control us by some kind of power that moves us in the direction that He wants us to go. He gives us opportunities. And based on those opportunities, we go a specific direction. And that direction is either the way that He would like us to go, or it can be the direction that we would like ourselves to go without any input from Him. So what are some points that we can consider today from this rare find, from this individual? It's easy to be faithful when everything's going well, but what happens when they aren't? It's a simple question, and we've all been there. It's an easy thing to feel good when you're walking around your house and all your family is with you, and then, like happened to Candace's grandmother, you simply miss a step and you fall down and you break both your legs. Then all of a sudden you start feeling pretty bad. Then all of a sudden you start feeling like, woe is me, and sometimes, and we see it a lot, we start blaming God, or people start blaming God. Why did you allow for this to happen? Things are going real well at work. You just get a promotion. Things are good for 2 months. Then all of a sudden, out of a sheer surprise, you're called into your boss's office and he says, "Company's got to cut back. I'm going to have to let you go." All of a sudden, where's your mindset? You were great when you said, "God, thank you for giving me such a wonderful job to support my family," right? "You've given me everything that I need, and I'm thankful for what you've given me." Then what becomes the attitude? You say, "God, why did you take this from me? I still need to take care of my family." That's the time we most need to turn to Him, not turn from Him. See, the point at which we really need Him the most is the point at which we need help. When we're in a position where we need Him to give us the strength and the courage to go on, like we talked about earlier this morning. So we need to recognize we should be faithful all the time. The faithful sticks to it because he or she knows there will come both good and bad times, but if they remain faithful, God will eventually bless them. They recognize, the faithful recognize there's going to be some struggles along the way. But the faithful recognize eventually they'll be blessed. You might get thrown in prison, but then maybe one day you'll be in charge of the prison. You'll be in charge of where you're at. It's not the most ideal place in the world to be. But you know what? Maybe it becomes a necessity for Christians today to be thrown in prison because of laws that are going to be passed that violate God's law. And then while you're in prison, you have the opportunity to teach the secluded people that you may not have had an opportunity to get to. Maybe that's why you wind up where you wind up. You have to look at your situation, see the opportunity that it presents, and do something about it, realizing that God will be faithful as long as we remain faithful. And we need to do that. And He will do what He says He will do. And He's faithful when He allows us to suffer. And He's faithful when He allows those that choose not to follow after Him to not make it into heaven. He's faithful because we know He made the promise before that there are things you have to do to get there. And He's going to hold true to His word. And He's going to be faithful in His actions. And He's not going to make those, you would think, wouldn't you? It would be unfair if God changed His mind and decided to allow everybody to enter heaven. Right? What do you mean, God? You mean I gave up all this time and all this energy? I worked hard for You. I did all these things You asked me to do, and You told me I would be rewarded, and now You're saying that the very people that didn't do those get the same reward? God's a faithful God, and He's not going to do that to us. He's going to allow us to reap whatever reward we've sown, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We need to proceed through life, not hopefully optimistic, but faithfully optimistic. We need to move forward believing that God will eventually bless us, as He's always done for His people. The simple conclusion, once again, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. If you don't remember it, it might not be a bad one to learn. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man or woman? And ask yourself, as we're about to stand and sing, I ask you to consider, are you one of these rare finds, as Joseph was?